Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, March 3rd, 2022. Coming up this hour.
Russia presses ahead in Ukraine as the war enters its second week.
Oil continues its march higher, hitting the highest level since 2008.
Jay Powell stands pat on plans for a rate hike this month.
And the January 6th panel says evidence suggests crimes committed by Donald Trump.
New York school chancellor says he wants to stop the exodus of students. Plus, Supreme Court nominee Brown Jackson is making the rounds on Capitol Hill. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stash, Aaron Swartz. The Knicks lost in Philadelphia. The Rangers beat the Blues. College hoop wins for St. John's, Seton Hall, and Rutgers.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Global Analyst helps you find new global investment opportunities to diversify your portfolio and discover undervalued companies that may have greater growth potential. Try IBKR Global Analyst today at IBKR.com/GA.
And U.S. futures are lower this morning, 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 10 points, Dow futures down 48, NASDAQ futures down 58, and the 10-year Treasury up 6/32, the yield 1.85%, yield on the 2-year 1.48%. NYMEX crude oil is up 2.4% at $113.28 a barrel. Nathan.
Karen, we'll have more on the markets in a minute. But first, the war in Ukraine is entering its second week. Russian forces are pressing ahead with their offensive, firing missiles at the capital of Kyiv. Moscow's also stepped up a campaign to take cities in the south. Ukraine's president, Volodymyr Zelensky, says Russian troops will be met with force.
Wherever they go, they will be destroyed. They will not have calm here. They will not have food. They will not have one quiet moment. The occupiers will receive only one thing from Ukrainians: resistance, fierce resistance.
President Volodymyr Zelensky is telling Russian troops to go home. Ukraine is set for a second round of talks with Moscow today.
Meantime, Nathan, the United Nations is ramping up its rhetoric on Russia. The UN Secretary General is demanding Moscow remove troops from Ukraine, and Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
An overwhelming majority of the General Assembly back Russian condemnation, 141-4, 5 against, 35 abstain. Secretary General Antonio Guterres says the world demands peace.
People in Ukraine desperately need peace, and people around the world demanded.
This is representatives from Ukraine and Russia are headed to the Belarus-Poland border today for a second round of talks, and Secretary of State Antony Blinken is headed to Europe for talks with NATO allies. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Ed, thank you. Russian finances are feeling more pain this morning. The country's credit rating's been cut to junk by both Moody's and Fitch Ratings. Both warned that sanctions could undermine Russia's capability and willingness to service debt.
Well, Nathan, oil continues its march higher this morning, hitting levels we haven't seen in 14 years. We get the latest live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
Karen, buyers continue to shun Russian crude, and traders are betting that prices will keep rising. Don't expect any help from OPEC Plus. After a 13-minute meeting, they stuck to just a mild increase in production. And don't expect help from U.S. shale producers. They say labor and material shortages are hurting their production. It's not just oil. Commodities rising across the board. Bloomberg's gauge of raw materials is closing in on the biggest weekly gain in 60 years. Aluminum hit a record, and wheat prices extended their meteoric rally. These commodities are not subject to sanctions, but surging freight and insurance costs are keeping buyers away. Live in New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, John, thank you. Despite risks from Russia's invasion of Ukraine, Jay Powell is making the fight against inflation his top priority. The Fed chair testified before a House panel yesterday, saying he supports a rate hike later this month.
I do think it will be appropriate to raise our target range for the federal funds rate at the March meeting in a couple of weeks. And I'm inclined to propose and support a 25 basis point rate hike. And to the extent inflation comes in higher or is more persistently high than that, then we would be prepared to move more aggressively by raising the federal funds rate by more than 25 basis point.
Fed Chair Jay Powell testifies before Congress again today, this time to the Senate Banking Committee.
Well, Nathan, the next major event for Jay Powell and the Fed is Friday's jobs report. Over the past year, rapid wage growth has left businesses scrambling to keep up, and it looks like that trend will continue. Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us now with the details. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. The February jobs report is expected to show average hourly earnings rose 0.5% last month, pushing year-over-year gains close to 6%. And if you exclude two pandemic-distorted prints in 2020, the annual increase would be the strongest in data going back 15 years. Some slowing is expected, but wage growth is poised to remain exceptionally strong this year. High labor costs are yet another factor the Fed will have to contend with as it works to cool the hottest inflation in a generation. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Renita, thanks. Turning to politics now, we have new developments involving the January 6th attack on the Capitol. The Congressional Committee investigating the incident says it may have evidence former President Trump was part of a criminal conspiracy. Amy Morris reports from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
The committee says Trump advisor John Eastman's emails to Vice President Mike Pence's lawyer show evidence of obstruction of an official proceeding, a felony that carries a maximum of 20 years in prison. In the emails, he blames Pence for the riot and says, quote, I implore you to consider one more relatively minor violation of the Electoral Count Act and adjourn for 10 days. In a court filing, the committee says Eastman knew what he was proposing would violate the law, but pushed the vice president to do it anyway. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris. Bloomberg Daybreak.
Amy, thank you. Let's turn back to the markets now with some corporate items of note this morning. Shares of Snowflake are plunging. They're down more than 21% after the software company projected a slowing sales growth. It's expected to fall from a previous triple-digit percentage pace.
And Tesla is back in the news, Karen. CEO Elon Musk is challenging the United Auto Workers Union to hold a vote at its California factory. Musk says Tesla will do nothing to stop union organizers. The challenge comes after President Biden again failed to mention Tesla while promoting electric vehicles in his State of the Union address. The White House is a big supporter of labor unions. S&P futures now down 8 points. Dow futures down 39. NASDAQ futures lower by 49 points. The 10-year Treasury is up 5/32. The yield 1.85%. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. Now 6:07 on Wall Street. Showers 43 degrees in Central Park. Northbound Route 19 closed in Elizabeth. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. People in New York are coming together to show support for Ukraine as the Russian invasion continues. Hundreds of people gathered at St. George Ukrainian Catholic Church in the East Village last night to sing and pray. The church has become a focal point for the humanitarian effort by raising funds for everything from food and clothing to medical supplies. Among the worshipers, New York Governor Kathy Hochul. New York City has the largest Ukrainian population in the U.S. President Biden's pick to replace Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer is making the rounds on Capitol Hill. Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson met with lawmakers. Her confirmation hearings could begin soon. Japanese scientists say the Omicron strain of COVID-19 is at least 40% more lethal than seasonal flu. Countries around the world have been relaxing mask mandates and testing requirements. A visibly annoyed Florida Governor Ron DeSantis admonished a group of students for wearing face masks at an indoor news conference. It happened before he spoke about cybersecurity and education at the University of South Florida in Tampa.
You do not have to wear those masks. I mean, please take them off. Honestly, it's not doing anything, and we got to stop with this COVID theater. So if you want to wear it, fine, but this is ridiculous.
Some of the students took their masks off before Governor DeSantis took the podium. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy received some good news about the state, a credit rating upgrade. The story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Moody's Investors Service raised New Jersey's credit rating, giving the state its first upgrade since 2005 after years of pension underfunding and benefit increases. An upgrade can lead to reduced borrowing costs for states as bond investors are willing to accept lower yields from issuers considered less likely to default. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
New York City Schools Chancellor David Banks pledged to bring a new normal to the U.S.'s largest school system. He outlined a plan to reverse an exodus of students by improving digital learning, reducing bureaucracy, and expanding gifted programs. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. Coming up to 6:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stanshauer.
All right, Nathan, familiar script for the Knicks. Good start, not a good finish. Another loss, now 16 losses in the last 19 games in Philadelphia. Knicks didn't trail until the third quarter, but the Sixers pulled away 123-108, and they sweep the home and home. Joel Embiid, 27 points. He took 13 free throws. That's down from the 27 that he took in Sunday's game at the Garden. James Harden, in his home debut in Philly, 26 points, a near triple-double. R.J. Barrett led the Knicks with 30. Julius Randle had 24, but Alec Burks and Evan Fournier together shot 3 of 19. Nets home tonight for Miami. Kevin Durant makes his return from the knee injury that's kept him out for more than 6 weeks. The East leading Heat last night in Milwaukee led by 14 with 6 minutes to go. The Bucks rallied to win by 1. At the Garden, Rangers led St. Louis 2-0 and then trailed 3-2 in the third.
Rangers could be 2-on-1 here. Here's Hunt toward the net. Here's Strome a little too deep, and he puts it on goal. Stop, rebound. They score! Patrick Nemeth from the point banks it in on Barbashev. And Patrick Nemeth has tied the game at 3.
VPN had the call. Chris Kreider would add a power play goal. His 35th goal of the season. The Rangers beat the Blues 5-3. Big 48-point second half for St. John's. The Red Storm beat Xavier 81-66. Also, the Big East, Seton Hall down Georgetown 73-68. The Hoyas are 0-18 in the Big East, and yet the school says it is committed to its coach, who happens to be the greatest player in school history, Patrick Ewing. Rutgers helped its NCAA hopes with a win at Indiana. The Giants shed some payroll. They cut running back Devontae Booker and tight end Kyle Rudolph. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
John, thanks. S&P futures now down 8.5 points. Dow futures down 47. NASDAQ futures lower by 46 points. And the 10-year Treasury is up 6/32. The yield, 1.85%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Coming up to 6:12 on Wall Street, Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit a Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow. Futures are little changed to lower this morning. European stocks are lower as the war in Ukraine enters its second week, and investors weigh the impact of surging commodity prices on inflation and economic growth. Check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures, they're down about 4 points right now. Dow futures are little changed. NASDAQ futures down 36. The DAX in Germany is down 0.8%. 10-year Treasury up 6/32. Yield 1.85%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.49%. NYMEX crude oil is up 2.7%, up $2.98 at $113.55 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.7% or $14 at $1936.30 an ounce. The euro, 1.1080 against the dollar. British pound, 1.3375. The yen is at 115.75. And Bitcoin this morning moving lower, down more than 1.25% at $43,500. Today we do get the weekly report on initial jobless claims at 8:30 Wall Street time. At 10, it's factory orders and durable goods orders, as well as a look at service industries. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. The UN Refugee Agency says 1 million people have fled Ukraine since Russia invaded the country a week ago. Meanwhile, Russia fired missiles at Kyiv overnight and stepped up their campaign to take cities in the coastal south. In a reversal, Russian and Belarusian athletes have been banned from the Paralympics for their country's roles in the war in Ukraine. The International Paralympic Committee announced the about-face less than 24 hours after saying it would allow Russian and Belarusian athletes to compete when the games open tomorrow. In the NBA, the Knicks lost. In the NHL, the Rangers won. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
This is The Big Take, the best of Bloomberg's in-depth original reporting from around the globe.
We're running on a financial system that's running on old technology.
We're seeing house prices reach fresh record highs.
What unfolds in midterms, we will no doubt see again in the next presidential election.
The Big Take on Bloomberg Radio.
Coming up to 6:20 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak, and our big take this morning is on the financial war against Russia. The U.S. and its allies are going after the country's wealthiest businessmen with punishing sanctions over the invasion of Ukraine. Could it spell the end of Vladimir Putin's decades in power, the end of the oligarch era in Russia? Here with more on the big take is the reporter who wrote it, Bloomberg's Stephanie Baker. Is with us this morning. Stephanie, good to have you with us. We heard the president in the State of the Union with a big applause line saying they're going after the luxury apartments, the yachts of the oligarchs. And just this morning, France said that it seized a yacht owned by Rosneft CEO Igor Sechin. Is it having an impact?
It is. And, you know, time will tell if they really follow through on some of this big talk and seize more assets. But as you said, the French have seized Igor Sechin, the head of Rosneft, his yacht. And I think this is just the beginning. And this will inflict pain and have a huge impact on, you know, wealthy Russians who've gotten used to keeping their yachts, having their mansions in the south of France, their London Mayfair townhouses and their New York penthouses. I think it will have an effect, and it already is, as we've seen from even wealthy Russians who have not been sanctioned moving to dump their assets, like Roman Abramovich with Chelsea, putting it up for sale, as he did yesterday.
Yeah, you mentioned the lineup of French yachts along the Riviera owned by Russians. It sort of speaks to the entrenchment of Russian money in the European economy. Has that been what's kind of held the U.S. and the European Union back in the past when it comes to punishing Russia over some of its many infractions in the past, like poisoning opponents of Vladimir Putin, annexing Crimea?
You know, sure. There were plenty of warning signs and alarm bells going off, you know, from the poisoning of Alexander Litvinenko to the poisoning of Sergei Skripal in 2018, the annexation of Crimea. And in each case, there were actions taken that in retrospect look pretty feeble compared to what we're seeing now. You know, this time, this is an unprecedented coordinated round of sanctions. Some, you know, the EU has moved much more aggressively than, say, the UK. The US has talked about further targeting of individuals. So the idea behind it is to starve Putin's regime from the funds to finance this war. But short of an embargo on Russian oil and gas, it will have an effect, but a limited effect. He still has a means of financing this war through oil and gas sales to the West.
There has been some talk lately about the idea that business leaders in Russia are there because Putin has put them there. In terms of the sanctions we're seeing so far against oligarchs, how much impact, how much influence do these billionaires really have on Putin, as far as we can tell?
Well, you know, in the 1990s, the oligarchs really did control the Kremlin. And when Putin came to power, he kind of turned it upside down and, changed the game and put, and in some respects, he demanded fealty and loyalty from those oligarchs. And if they did not comply, he hit back. So I think the balance of power has indeed changed. That does not mean that sanctioning the oligarchs will not have an effect, because the amount of losses from these sanctions is just staggering. The country and most of the big businesses have been bankrupt as a result of these. And, you know, this will take time to filter through. But indeed, having the entire elite class lose so much wealth overnight is bound to have an impact on Putin. How this all plays out is too difficult to tell right now. Mm-hmm. But indeed, I think the idea is to isolate and starve him of funds to make it more costly for him to wage this war.
Bloomberg's Stephanie Baker with the big take this morning on the potential end of the oligarch era in Russia. You can read much more. Bloomberg.com/big take or NI Big Take Go on the Bloomberg terminal. Futures moving lower. Stay with us. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, rain ending this morning, clearing breezy, low 40s today. We'll be in the upper 30s, mostly sunny tomorrow, mostly cloudy, mid 40s by Saturday. Right now, 40 in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Six 30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. It's time for the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Trade crypto for less coin with commissions just 12 to 18 basis points and no hidden spreads or markups. Learn more at ibkr.com/crypto. Up first, the war in Ukraine is entering its second week. Russian forces are pressing ahead, firing missiles at the capital city of Kyiv. They're also stepping up campaigns to take cities in the south. Ukraine's President Vladimir Zelensky says Russian troops are being met with force.
Our army is doing everything to fully break the enemy. Nearly 9,000 Russians have been killed in 1 week.
President Vladimir Zelensky is telling Russian troops to go home.
And Karen, we're seeing this war continue to have a massive impact on commodities. Let's get the latest on that live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
Yeah, Nathan, Bloomberg's gauge of raw materials is closing in on the biggest weekly gain in 60 years as banks, importers, and shippers all steer clear of Russian exports. Brent crude soared near $120 a barrel. Aluminum hit a record. And wheat rallied to the highest level since 2008. The decision by OPEC Plus to leave out plans, their output plans unchanged, adds to the risk that inflation will slow the global economy. Even before the invasion, U.S. retail gasoline was at its highest level since 2014. Live in New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Well, speaking of inflation, Jay Powell addresses that topic today in another round of congressional testimony. The Fed chair is making the fight against prices his top priority, saying he supports a rate hike later this month.
Well, up next for the Fed, Karen, is tomorrow's jobs report. Rapid wage growth has left businesses scrambling to keep up, and it looks like that trend will continue. Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us with the details on that. Renita.
Good morning. The February jobs report is expected to show average hourly earnings rose 0.5% last month, pushing year-over-year gains close to 6%. And if you exclude two pandemic-distorted prints in 2020, the annual increase would be the strongest in data going back 15 years. Some slowing is expected, but wage growth is poised to remain exceptionally strong this year. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. And in politics this morning, the January 6th congressional panel says evidence suggests crimes were committed by former President Trump. The panel says emails from Trump advisor John Eastman may contain evidence of obstruction of an official proceeding. Eastman is sued to block release of the emails. And that's the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Karen, thanks. 633 on Wall Street, 39 degrees in Central Park. Still got problems on northbound Route 1 and 9 in Elizabeth. Michael Barr is here with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. People around the world are coming together to show support for Ukraine as the Russian invasion continues. In New York City, which has the largest Ukrainian population in the U.S., Hundreds of people gathered at St. George Ukrainian Catholic Church in the East Village last night to sing and pray.
I will cry at home. I will cry when I pray, but not now because this is my battle. I'm fighting. Everyone is turning right now and soldier, and I'm soldier, so that's not the place to cry. I'll cry later.
Another one of the worshipers at the church was New York Governor Kathy Hochul. The church has become a focal point for the humanitarian effort by raising funds for everything from food and clothing to medical supplies. Supreme Court nominee Ketanji Brown Jackson has begun courting senators on Capitol Hill, making her case for confirmation in private meetings. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
I am just so pleased that the president has nominated someone of such amazing qualification and breadth of experience.
Democrats are working to move her nomination through the Senate within weeks. The American Civil Liberties Union has filed a lawsuit against the Texas Department for Family and Protective Services and Governor Greg Abbott for implementing a directive to investigate parents that provide gender-affirming care to transgender children. Meanwhile, a state district judge issued a temporary order halting the child abuse investigation of the family of a 16-year-old receiving gender-affirming care. The family's attorney, Shelley Skeen.
Every major medical association says that gender-affirming care is medically necessary.
Attorney Shelley Skeen. A JetBlue pilot was removed from the cockpit by police in Buffalo, New York, after a TSA officer noticed he appeared drunk. He was taken into custody after police say he was more than four times the legal limit for pilots. A police report says the 52-year-old pilot was heard saying he consumed 10 22-ounce tall boys and left the restaurant around midnight. Whoa. JetBlue says he has been relieved of his duty. Yes. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
That is too many tall boys. Oof. Thank you, Michael. 6:35 on Wall Street. Let's get the Bloomberg Sports Update now. Here's John Stashower.
All right, Nathan. Last 6-7 weeks have been rough for the two New York City NBA teams. The Nets led the East until Kevin Durant's knee injury. Without him, they've lost 15 of 18. Good news, Durant returns tonight in Brooklyn against the East leading Miami Heat. Knicks in mid-January were over 500, looking like a playoff team. They've now lost 16 of their last 19 in Philadelphia. Sixers took the lead third quarter, pulled away 123-108. James Harden, 26 points, a near triple-double at his home debut in Philly. Seamless adjustment to Harden's new team.
I'm very comfortable in a lot of situations, whether it's basketball or just in life. I feel like you can put me anywhere in a room and I can fit in. So here is no different, you know. Just survey the room, see who's in it, you know, see what you have, and, you know, try your best to fit in.
It's not going
to
get any easier for the Knicks. The road trip continues tomorrow night in Phoenix. The Suns have the best record in the NBA. Rangers with 3 goals in the third period beat St. Louis at the Garden 5-3. Chris Kreider, the go-ahead goal, his 35th of the year. 3 assists for Adam Fox. He's now got 46 assists. Big East tournament is next week at the Garden. Last night, St. John's beat Xavier 81-66, and Seton Hall down Georgetown 73-68. Patrick Ewing's Hoyas 0-18 in the Big East. Looks like Seton Hall will be in the NCAA tournament. Rutgers said to be on the bubble. Scarlet Knights helped their cause. A 66-63 win at Indiana. Ron Harper scored 19. Fordham back under 500, losing at UMass. Northeast Conference tournament. Quarterfinal wins for Wagner and LIU, but St. Francis lost by 30. Their season's over. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Steve.
All right, John, thank you. It is 6:37 on Wall Street. Time now to take a look at stocks, some of the names moving in the pre-market. Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta is with us again this morning as we watch the impact of the war in Ukraine on individual stocks. Kriti, good morning.
Good morning. Well, we have to talk about simply the read-through. I mean, every morning I come in here, Nathan and I come here and I say, hey, look at oil. It's so high. Brent now at $115 per barrel. But there is a read-through into the stock market. We know that this is going into a lot of those energy stocks. And those are really the ones that have been the outperformers, not just this past week, but in the last few weeks, as well as they kind of gear up for this geopolitical premium baked into oil prices. But underneath the hood, Nathan, it gets a little wonky. Stick with me here. Some of these oil companies have a lot of exposure to the United States, and that's great for people looking to get away from some of that Russian read-through. So, for example, Devon Energy, which has been an outperformer lately, DVN is your ticker, up 1.3% in the pre-market. Occidental is another one. OXY is your ticker, up 1.5%. About 80% of their revenue is right here in the United States. Another one is Schlumberger, SLB, up over 1%. Halliburton as well, HAL, up 0.5%. And then in the mix, kind of secretly, is Chevron. CVX is your ticker, up 0.9%. Now remember, they did just increase their guidance for buybacks, saying it would go from $2 to $5 billion in buybacks to $5 to $10 billion is their range, saying that there is room for more. But when we're talking about the Russian read-through, they are still exposed. Actually, one of the companies that has actually bought Russian oil in the past year. In 2021, they imported 4 million barrels to California refineries, and they're saying that they're still monitoring developments. They have not 100% pulled out of Russia and their investments there. But nevertheless, it's that buyback news that seems to be keeping it bid. CVX up 0.9%, Nathan.
Well, despite or besides the energy companies, Creedy, we've been talking a lot this morning about Snowflake. It is getting hammered after earnings.
Hammered, absolutely. SNOW, that is your ticker for essentially the securities software company, however you want to kind of understand what they do. But basically, those pre-market shares slumping 22% after they projected product sales growth would slow from its previous triple-digit percentage pace in the fiscal year. That being said, analysts are still positive on the software firm. Morgan Stanley even saying that the company would see some pain in the short term, but eventually see a longer-term gain. And it's not alone when it comes to kind of some of the pain that you're seeing in the tech space. Intel, for example, INTC, down just shy of 3% in the pre-market after getting cut to underweight over at Morgan Stanley. A price target there of $47 is at $47.50 right now, Nathan.
Okay, Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta with us this morning as we take a look at the broader market ahead of the Thursday morning open. Futures are moving a bit lower. We have S&P futures down 8 points now. Dow futures down 42. NASDAQ futures lower by 44 points. 10-year Treasury is up 7/32 now with the yield 1.85%. Yield on the 2-year 1.49%. NYMEX crude up 2.75%, up $2.94, $113.56 a barrel. Brent is at $115.08. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, clearing, breezy, low 40s today, mostly sunny, chillier tomorrow, upper 30s. We'll be in the mid-40s, mostly cloudy by Saturday. Right now it's cloudy, 39 degrees in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by Interactive Brokers Global Analyst. It helps you find new global investment opportunities to diversify your portfolio and discover undervalued companies that may have greater growth potential. Try IBKR Global Analyst today at IBKR.com/GA. Futures are lower this morning. We get to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. And here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are in the red right now. Dow futures down 82 points. S&P's dropped 14, while NASDAQ futures dropped by 65. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.85%. Gold is up 9. Oil is trading higher, hitting the highest level since 2008. Bitcoin is down by 1%, and Japan rose overnight, while European markets are mostly in the red this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, initial jobless claims at 9:45, services and composite PMIs, then at 10 o'clock, factory orders and durable goods orders. After the bell last night, Snowflake revenue growth outlook disappointed. Shares are down 22% in the pre-market. And in other news, Moody's and Fitch both cut Russia to junk, and Carl Icahn cut his stake in Occidental Petroleum in half. Wrapping things up, Citigroup cut to market perform at KBW, and Intel was cut to underweight over at Morgan Stanley. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. A Hercules C-130 transport aircraft with about 2,000 anti-tank missiles for Ukraine has taken off from Oslo. The weapons are to help Ukrainian forces resist Russia's invasion, which began last week. Meanwhile, French customs officials have immobilized a yacht owned by Rosneft Chief Executive Officer Igor Sechin as part of EU sanctions against Russia. The House panel investigating the January 6th riot at the U.S. Capitol said its evidence suggests crimes may have been committed by former President Trump and his associates in the failed effort to overturn the outcome of the 2020 presidential election. In the NBA, the Knicks lost. In the NHL, the Rangers won. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Speech. I'm Jonathan Bernstein, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. The State of the Union, more than any other presidential address, is a heavily negotiated speech. Presidents are always speaking to multiple audiences, but never more than on these occasions. World events frequently force the president to address an international audience. Party actors and interest groups fight to get mentions of their causes, as do those within the administration. Members of Congress want their issues mentioned, too. Political aides want the president to focus on popular achievements and proposals. Then there are the policy areas that pundits consider important, skip any mention of them, and the speech may get bad reviews. And White House speechwriters want the whole thing to sound good, to have a theme, and to have memorable lines. The result is always a laundry list that hops from one item to the next, rarely impressing anyone. Joe Biden's first State of the Union Tuesday night checked off each of these boxes. It was fine. Most of it wasn't memorable. It will neither help him nor hurt him politically. I'm Jonathan Bernstein. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time, and terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. It is 6:40 on Wall Street. We turn to news and science and technology now with a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. It is brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. NJIT makes infrastructure-ready graduates from civil engineers to transportation specialists. If it's infrastructure, NJIT grads are building it. More at njit.edu. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. A new study underscores the potential danger of lifting pandemic curbs too quickly. Japanese scientists say that the Omicron strain of the coronavirus is at least 40% more lethal than seasonal flu. Omicron's fatality rate is still much lower than the fatality rate seen earlier in the outbreak. Researchers say that could reflect the benefits of vaccination. Bloomberg News has learned that the Securities and Exchange Commission is scrutinizing creators of non-fungible tokens and the crypto exchanges where they trade. Investigators are trying to determine if some of the assets run afoul of the agency's rules. A focus is on whether certain NFTs are being used to raise money like traditional securities. And Apple has announced plans to hold its first product unveiling of the year. It'll take place on March 8th. At the event, the company is expected to announce its first low-cost iPhone SE with 5G capabilities, a new iPad Air, and updated Macs with Apple-made chips. And that's a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Nathan.
Thanks, Karen. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:52 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Biden seeking to press Putin without sparking a wider war in Ukraine, the January 6th panel claiming evidence of crimes committed by former President Donald Trump, and a date set for confirmation hearings for Supreme Court nominee Ketanji Brown Jackson. For more, we're joined by Bloomberg Government Congressional reporter Jack Fitzpatrick. So, Jack, when it comes to the financial war that the U.S. and Europe are mounting on Russia, it really does seem like the focus is on sanctions and not what you might call a kinetic response.
Yeah, and the president tried to make that clear in his State of the Union, saying that the U.S. is not looking to get involved militarily, drawing the line at obviously if Russia were to attack a NATO country, then the U.S. would defend NATO. The focus has been sanctions. That, you know, according to some outside observers, raises some questions about how exactly this ends. What is the opportunity for Putin to back out of this? But on Capitol Hill, really the focus is on adding more sanctions, adding more pressure. We've heard from a number of Republicans, Senator Joe Manchin, and I think a little surprisingly, even Ed Markey on the progressive end of the spectrum, talking about further sanctions limiting U.S. Purchases of oil and gas from Russia. So we may see a real push from Congress to try to extend those sanctions and focus more on the energy sector. So we've really seen a push to to ratchet up the pressure lately in terms of sanctions.
Yeah, we just heard this morning from the White House that the president is going to be meeting virtually with fellow leaders of the Quad countries, including Australia and India. So we'll be watching that as well. Meantime, Jack, we've heard from the January 6th committee, a pretty significant court filing talking about evidence of crimes committed by the former president.
Yeah, they have put in writing in a significant way, in their words, that what they've seen establishes a good faith belief that former President Donald Trump and others, quote, may have engaged in criminal and or fraudulent acts. The details center around John Eastman's emails. Eastman was one of the people who advised the president on different ways that he viewed legally they could slow down or try to stop the confirmation of the presidential election results. So there's plenty of room for them to continue to carry this forward, but they have put in writing in a court filing for a federal court in California that they do think people, at least in Trump's circle, may have committed crimes.
And finally, Jack, as Judge Brown Jackson, the Supreme Court nominee, makes the rounds on Capitol Hill, we have a date set for the start of her confirmation hearing in the Senate.
Yes, March 21st is going to be the beginning of that process. I would remind you that the majority leader, Chuck Schumer, has said he wants this to move along fairly quickly. There is a lot that Congress wants to accomplish this spring heading into the summer. So March 21st may really be the starting gun of a bit of a race to move forward on her confirmation. I would be particularly interested to see where somebody like Lindsey Graham comes down on this. He voted for her, was one of the Republicans who voted for her. For the district court, the circuit court confirmation, but he was pushing for Michelle Childs from South Carolina. So I'm curious where the moderates come in and where Lindsey Graham, who is a senior member of the Judiciary Committee, comes down on her nomination.
Yeah, talking about all that's on the congressional plate, of course, they're still working on appropriations bills, the activity that has to get done before this year is out. We'll leave it there for now, Jack. Thanks for being with us. Bloomberg government congressional reporter Jack Fitzpatrick from our Bloomberg 99.1 studios in the nation's capital. Read much more about what's happening in D.C., Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg terminal. Of course, you can listen to Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 6:56 on Wall Street. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and March is Women's History Month, and every day this month we're celebrating significant moments in women's history. Now, with your installment for March 3rd, here is Bloomberg's Renita Young.
On this day in women's history in 1913, the first major parade for women's suffrage took over Washington, D.C. Thousands of women gathered to call for a constitutional amendment guaranteeing women the right to vote. Women had been fighting hard for suffrage for more than 60 years by that time, but this marked the first major national event for the movement. The huge parade was spearheaded by Alice Paul and the National American Women's Suffrage Association. Parade organizers maximized attention on the event by strategically hosting it just one day before the inauguration of President-elect Woodrow Wilson. This tactic worked. That's today in women's history. I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Renita, thank you. S&P futures down about 10 points this morning. Dow futures down 45, and NASDAQ futures are down 50. And COMEX gold is moving higher. It's up 0.7%, $13.90 at $1,936.20 an ounce. NYMEX crude oil up almost 2% at $112.72 a barrel. Bloomberg surveillance is straight ahead. And for Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.